Every Woman is a feminist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of the world's population and 52% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in social, political, economic, and environmental arenas. The opinions and views expressed on Every Woman are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI board, staff, volunteers, or sponsors of KKFI and the Mid-Coast Radio Project Incorporated.
Good afternoon. This is Sharon Lockhart in the studio with Ebony Johnson, whom you just heard reading our intro, Amy Bell on the board, as well as Ebony, Beth Wilkinson at the table here with our guest today, Dave Kingsley, who is a retired statistics professor at KU, still on faculty doing independent research, advocate activist for social justice, expert in Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, health care reform. He's a welcome guest on our show regularly because he is so well-spoken and well-informed, and we're going to have a dynamite show. And maybe he'll bring up some points that you can ask questions about and make a call in. And I guess we have some pre-recorded news to air first right now, don't we, Ebony?
We do, so we will go to that and we'll be back. News for Every Woman. Yesterday, January 29th, marked the 7th anniversary of the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act of 2009 being signed into law. This act came as a direct result of the Ledbetter versus Goodyear Tire and Rubber Co. 2007 case and amends the Civil Rights Act of 1964, declaring that the 180-day statute of limitations for filing an equal pay lawsuit regarding pay discrimination resets with each new paycheck affected by that discriminatory action. The Lilly Ledbetter Act took us one step closer achieving equal pay. But the gender wage gap still leaves women earning less than their male counterparts, especially white men. We must continue fighting for equal pay. A few simple tweets. The wage gap has been stagnant for years, but equal pay can't wait. We don't have that kind of time to wait for equal pay. Latinas have to work for 22 months to earn what white men make in just 1 year. That's definitely not equal pay. Equal pay can't wait. When women spend their careers losing money to the wage gap, that means less retirement savings. Equal pay is critical at every age. And finally, black women working full-time, year-round, are typically paid 60 cents for every dollar paid to a white man. Women shouldn't have to stretch their dollars further and get paid less for the same job. A Kansas lawmaker issued an apology Tuesday for a rule he made 3 years ago on attire that included specifics for women testifying before a state committee. No low-cut tops, no miniskirts. After several days of scrutiny from local media and attention from several national media outlets, Holmes issued an apology and retraction. Quote, "My failure to clearly specify that all conferees, regardless of gender, should strive to present themselves professionally is unacceptable. I apologize and meant no offense. I have decided to retract the conferee guidelines," end quote, Holmes said in a written statement he released Tuesday. The United Nations is hoping 2016 will be a landmark year for gender empowerment, not only for the world body, but also for the United States. Quote, "The empowerment of women is real," end quote, says UN Deputy Secretary General Jan Eliasson of Sweden. Quote, "It is a remarkable moment where key candidates for the next president of the United States and for the next Secretary General of the United Nations are women," end quote. The United States has a problem with access to computer science programs in schools. In 9 states, not a single African-American student took an AP computer science exam last year. Significantly fewer girls took the exam than boys. A new initiative announced Saturday by the White House seeks to rectify some of these inequalities. The plan comes after President Barack Obama announced his commitment to expanding computer science offerings during this year's State of the Union address, in which he said he wants every student to have hands-on computer science and math classes. The push titled the Computer Science for All Initiative, includes $4 billion in Obama's upcoming budget and $100 million to be distributed directly to districts.
We're back with Every Woman, and we're going to start off with our guest, Dave Kingsley, and talk about, well, we're going to let him talk about what it is he wants to talk to us about today, just to be certain we're on the right track here.
Well, I think, Sharon, one of the things that we talked about, right now we're hearing a campaign going on in the Democratic Party. We've got primarily Senator Bernie Sanders and Secretary Hillary Clinton, former Senator Clinton, and they have a difference about health care plans. And the listeners might be interested in knowing what the argument is about. What is the difference between the two? So I thought I would discuss that a little bit and give people a chance to call in if they have questions. Because there is a very important difference in the way Bernie would look at health care and the way Hillary would.
But let me interrupt and say, you did not mention the Republican health care plan. Now, that is simply to abolish health care plans.
Well, yeah, I would say the health care plan that we got through called the ACA was pretty much a Republican plan, but because President Obama got it, it's his plan. But so they're trying to get rid of it, which they won't, and they really don't want to get rid of it. But I'll talk about that.
Okay, great.
But I do want to say that I will not take a position on whether I'm for Hillary or for Bernie. So I'm not here to endorse a candidate. I want to talk about the two health plans because people do have questions about that. I see some things in both plans I like, but I also see things in both plans that are terribly flawed. Would I lean towards one or the other? Yes, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But again, that has nothing to do with my preference for either of the two candidates. I want to make that very clear. But, you know, Hillary got in a little trouble recently when she had her daughter, Chelsea, give a talk and say Senator Sanders wanted to get rid of your health care. He wanted to tear it all down, start all over. And so we get that kind of campaign rhetoric. People get really confused, and Senator Sanders came back and said, no, I didn't. So what essentially do we have with Hillary's plan? Pretty much what Hillary wants to do is what she tried to do in 1993, which is what we did with the ACA under President Obama, was the Affordable Care Act, which is a real privatized system. It is theoretically universal, but all of the funding, unless you qualify for Medicaid, is going to go through insurance companies. So you're going to have to go out on the market and find insurance.
I just want to jump in here. When you say theoretically universal, it's also specifically everyone I go to school with is in the gap. Like, I am in a room full of people every single day who are in this so-called gap because they don't make enough money to be into the ACA.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because when I say something like theoretically universal, that's a lot of jargon, because everybody should have it. No matter who you are, you should have health care. That's the idea. But the gap you're talking about is if you're below poverty, at poverty or below, and you don't qualify for Medicaid, which you got to be really poor, you don't get it. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but I think the thing that's missing there is that there's kind of some, you have to be really poor, or maybe you're a grad student and your income comes in the form of student loans. So I'm in law school, except for the few of us who have spouses that are working, we're all quote unquote in poverty and don't have health insurance. And that's not a realistic view of what's happening, but almost everybody in that building is uninsured.
Well, if your student loan shouldn't count towards your income for getting the ACA.
Right. So that all of their income is student loans, which means that with the countable income, they're zero income.
Right.
And so they're poverty.
They're too poor to be able to get the subsidies, is what you're saying.
Exactly. They're in the
gap. How can you be too poor to get the subsidy?
Well, you know, this is a crazy thing. Let's back up. And you know, the Affordable Care Act, and I'll get to Bernie's plan in a minute. What the Affordable Care Act, and this was Hillary's idea in 93, was we would have a marketplace. And you could go out onto that marketplace and buy your health insurance. Now, you could do that before, but you couldn't afford it, or there were pre-existing conditions. The idea was to bring all of these insurance companies under management of the government. And the government would then guarantee these companies that they would get these customers. Furthermore, the government guarantees that if you have a plan that would cost a family of four $25,000 a year, which is pretty much what people were paying if you had a family of four, then you would be able to, and your income was at a certain level, you'd qualify for subsidies. So maybe you have a family of four, and you can get this same health care under the Affordable Care Act for, let's say, $5,000 a year instead of $25,000, which is maybe doable based on your income, but the government still pays the insurance company what they would have gotten when it was $25,000. So what it does is it's saying to the insurance companies, you can insure these people, and you don't have to worry about if they're poor, if they have a disease already that you would have disqualified for them for before, because the government is now underwriting the risk. That's basically the difference. Essentially, what happened under the Affordable Care Act, insurance companies quit being insurance companies. They're no longer underwriting risk. They are not taking any risk for if you have an expensive operation or anything else. What happened, and the reason it didn't pass when Hillary was trying to get it passed, there were a lot of reasons, but one reason was the insurance companies were still growing and they were highly profitable, health insurance companies. By the year 2006 or 7, they'd hit a wall. They did not have a way to expand their market anymore because they were excluding people who couldn't afford it. They were excluding people who had the disease. So they were willing then to go ahead and let the government send them tens of millions, not millions, but tens of millions of new customers. And that's essentially what happened because they had maxed out their ability to pay more profits, more dividends. Now, keep in mind that the insurance companies' executives make from $20 million to $60 million a year. So they do have a very high overhead. So the government said, fine, we'll give you customers. We will subsidize those customers who can't afford to pay you what you need. We will then say to you, you will spend 80% on health care and 20% goes to your administration, to your overhead, shall we say, to your administrative costs. Well, that's called a medical loss ratio, 20-80. Now, I want to back up and say things – we've been down the road for a couple of years on this, and things are not going well. So we can look at this and say, where are we going to go from here? Well, where we've come so far is the cost of health care, as we thought it would be for the premiums, are going up pretty rapidly. So it's not as affordable as we thought it would be.
How would that compare to the states that don't? They have where you have a choice of the insurance companies, and Kansas is one of those states. And the low-income people will choose the insurance companies that they want to use, and they only have like about a dozen, or even a half dozen that you can choose.
Well, that's which I hear what you're saying, because this is one of the problems with the ACA, and I'm still on Hillary's plan here, is that you've got to be in network. In other words, you may buy a cheap plan, let's say a bronze plan, and the way the ACA set up its plans was you could buy a silver plan, which is the most expensive, which would give you the least deductibility, the least copay, and then you go down from silver. Well, I think it's gold, silver, bronze. At the bottom is the bronze plan. So you buy a cheap plan. You're going to have a very high deductible, and you're going to have, and you might find, I went to the doctor, sent, and the doctor sent the bill, or I went to the hospital, hospital sent the bill in, and you get a notice from the insurance company that says, sorry, we can't pay this because those doctors, that hospital's not in our network. That's a big problem that we're having with the ACA.
Well, and they say that you have to have paid, you know, $10,000 out of pocket before they're paying for things.
Right.
I mean, it's still making you not afford health care.
That's what I mean with the high deductibles.
Yes. I have one of these plans. That's why I'm speaking from experience. It is not affordable health care.
Right.
I must interrupt and say we are in the very beginning of our winter 2016 fund drive, and it's time for us to not only work on getting a universal health care plan for everyone, but to raise money for KKFI's continued operation. We are, how's that for a segue? We are the only progressive voice in Kansas City, or maybe for miles around, that talks about issues that impact people, issues of social justice, of fair play, of fair pay, domestic violence, children. I mean, on KKFI, you can hear everything at almost any time of day.
Well, and it's not just big theoretical ideas. It is directly how it is impacting the community. Your voice is really important on this station, and we always welcome your voice and your opinion. We love your opinions, even if you disagree with us. You know, if you're out there and you love to hate every woman, then go ahead and call in and pitch, because you know it's fun.
Yeah.
You know that we're engaging with you.
Yes.
And it's a good thing.
Call 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. Terry Wilkie is sitting out there taking phone calls, and we have other people available should there be such a telephone rush that she can't handle it by herself. So please get up and make that phone call now, 888-931-0901.
And we do have some thank you gifts that are here for you with your donations. We've got some pretty different gifts this time. We've got a collaboration CD, which is a CD that was produced by KKFI. It's got a lot of local music and some interesting projects that they did specially for KKFI. And you can make a donation and get that CD. As always, we've got a KKFI t-shirt. We've got a guest DJ spot. We've got a pair of tickets to the Kansas City Folk Festival. You know, all the things that you like, we've got them, and we're going to give them to you to say thank you for your pledge.
And that CD is for a $75 pledge?
Yes, that's correct.
And how much are the tickets? To the folk festival.
That's the $90 level. The $90 level is you can get a t-shirt or you can get those tickets. $150 will get you that guest DJ spot. If you want to kind of have some fun and show everybody that your music selection is the best music selection, that's what that guest DJ spot is for. You get to show everybody how you're the best curator of music in Kansas City. And
well, Amy, there's another. I worked for a fundraiser one day, and going home, I heard some instances where you can make a donation and get tickets to a women's media camp. And this was in Canada. And so I got to go up there for a week. And it was just wonderful.
That was a past campaign that
we
did.
With Wings. And
yeah.
Well, and I know that KKFI has been there for a lot of you listening. And it's been there. I know it's been there for our guest today as well. You're a regular on KKFI. And it's a really good outlet for you to say what's going on in the community, and for people to get an idea. What are some of the other things that you've come on to KKFI to talk about?
Well, I think we usually talk about Social Security, Medicare, the social insurance programs, the elderly, and health care. I think that's pretty much what, you know, I've kind of stuck to my knitting on that. But it's such a great opportunity to be able to, I know we're trying to explain the Affordable Care Act, which is
very complex.
Hard to do.
Yes, it is.
But we still have to have this conversation, I think.
And it's my understanding that we actually do have a donor to thank.
Well, yes, we do. In fact, we have two donors to thank. Gail James called a pledge in, and the Raymond James office in Prairie Village, Kansas. Kevin Suma and Todd Osborne made a pledge. So
thank
we thank, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank those people.
And we would love to thank you on air as well. Call in with your pledge. Any amount helps. This is community radio. We just need to keep your voice being heard on the air, and anything that you can give to help out, this is us passing the hat. You do not have to get one of those donation level gifts. We will take anything that you're willing and able to give to us. It really, every penny helps us.
Yes, $25 on up. Call a friend, pull your money together for a pair of tickets at the $75 level. That would work. Two people giving, what, $37.50 is my math on target.
Well, $90 is for the tickets.
$45 each would get a pair of tickets. $75 for the CD.
Yes.
I guess you can't split a CD too well, but yeah. So call that number, 888-931-0901. Call right now. Make your pledge count for KKFI and help keep us on the air. We've been on the air since 1988, and it's because of listeners like you out there who have continued to donate, and new people. If you've never called in a pledge, now's a good time to do that. There is so much at KKFI to educate, entertain, and inform, that I'm sure that if you tune to KKFI 90.1 FM regularly, you will find something worth your while that you will be sorry if you had missed it. So call that number right now, 888-931-0901.
And let's go ahead and take a brief station break and get back to our discussion on health care.
Man trying to make a living. Blues, Barbecue, and Brews, a musical evening benefiting All Souls Unitarian Church and KKFI. The performances by Danny Cox and Bob Walkenhorse and the Shawnee Mission East Jazz Band. Saturday, January 30th from 6 to 9 p.m., 4500 Walnut, Kansas City, Missouri. Doors at 5:30, music at 6, dinner served at 6:15. Donation of $25 includes all the music and all you can eat. For just $20, all the music you can hear. Advance tickets available at All Souls Unitarian Church, 10 to 2, Monday through Friday, or at 816-531-2131. Benefiting KKFI and All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church. At Blues, Barbecue, and Brews on January 30th at 6 p.m. Come on out.
And we're here with Dave Kingsley, who is our resident expert on Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, health care reform for all. Activists here in Kansas City are so lucky to have him moved here from Lawrence, Kansas. Sad loss for Lawrence, but good for Kansas City. And Dave is talking to us about the differences between Bernie Sanders' plan and Hillary Clinton's health care plan. And we've already sort of established that the Republicans' plan is to do away with Affordable Care Act. So we don't need to go there. Let's talk about the difference between the two progressives in the campaign.
Yeah, let me talk quickly about Bernie's. It's a little easier to explain because what Bernie wants to do is just bring everybody under Medicare.
I like that idea.
Medicare for all, which is truly a single-payer system. If you were born in Denmark or Sweden or England, you would have health insurance from birth to death. You don't have to go out on the market and buy it, say. Like in the United States, when you reach 65, you're eligible for Medicare. So that's it. That's what we call a single-payer universal health care. Although I want to say with Medicare, it's really a social insurance fund, and people need to understand that. We need to get that out because as you work through your lifetime, you pay 1.45% of every check you get, your employer matches that with 1.45%. So you're putting money into a pot. And I think Bernie's making a mistake by not explaining better this. He's going to raise a tax, okay, because people are going to say, well, how are you going to pay for bringing everybody under Medicare? And he said, well, we're going to have to put a tax on. And he has to some degree said, but look, you're going to have a lot less to pay overall because we're going to take this big insurance premium off of you over here. And by the way, one of the reasons the ACA is struggling, and in fact, when I hear my liberal friends say, well, it may not be perfect, but we're going to improve on it. They don't quite tell you how they're going to do that, and we're seeing it begin to deteriorate for this reason. A huge number, a huge proportion of young people who are required by law to buy it aren't buying it. So, in other words, there's massive resistance to the law. And if you don't get the young people in the risk pool, you're going to have the older, sicker people who, and therefore it doesn't work.
A lot of those young people are the ones that are sitting there in that gap. They're not choosing not to buy it. They can't afford it.
Well, that's true. But there, I think whether you're young or middle-aged or what age, if you say, now, there's some reasons that people don't buy it because they just can't afford it.
Well, it takes a lot of research to see what's the best for them and who you can trust as far as the insurance goes.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're looking at many reasons why we don't have people going in. Now, under a single payer system, the government just puts you in. I mean, you're just part of it. You will pay your taxes like everybody else. Okay, having said that, Medicare is a single payer government sponsored insurance program like Social Security. You pay into it. So if we could put, say, another 2% on top of the 1.45% out of every paycheck, we could bring people in. One of the things, now having said that, one of the things that really bothers me about this campaign with both Bernie and Hillary, they're not really talking about the gorilla in the room or the elephant in the room or whatever you want to call it, because what's really the real problem we have in the United States with health care is we don't have an overall rational health care system. What we have is what we call the medical industrial complex. So our health care, whether it's Medicare, because we're privatizing Medicare at an increasing rate too, because we came up with Medicare Plus back in 1999, so you could go buy a total private plan under Medicare, which is Medicare Advantage now. So in other words, you don't have to go into traditional Medicare and take the hospitalization, Part B, the doctor, Part D, the drugs. You can go Part C, which is we call Medicare Advantage. Everything you is bought from a private company. So they move towards privatizing Medicare. Part D came along, which is your pharmaceuticals or your drugs. That's another private, like the ACA. That's very similar to the ACA because you've got to go find an insurance company and buy your prescription coverage. We're moving in that direction. But what's happening is if you look at Washington and you look at how our laws are made, whether it's the ACA or Medicare, there's 8 lobbyists for every legislator in the healthcare industry. 8 lobbyists for every legislator. They spend, well, let me give you an example here. Between 1998 and 2015, the number one lobbying firm or lobbying organization or industry was pharmaceuticals. They spent $3,257,000,000 on lobbying. Okay, now think about that. And then we've got the insurance industry spent $2,271,000,000. We've got hospitals and nursing homes. They've spent $1,356,000,000. This is on lobbying. Another thing that happens in Washington is if you're a staffer, and I've worked with the staffs on Senator Wyden, from Senator Wyden's office on some health care stuff. Though what a senator does is he says, look, I don't know a lot about health care, but I've got a staffer who does. So my staffer is going to tell me what to do, and based on my political philosophy, I'm going to do that. Well, those staffers might encounter a lobbyist, and lobbyists make a lot more money than staffers do. Let me tell you, if you want to make a lot of money in Washington, go from being a Senate staffer to being a lobbyist. So the lobbyist might say to the Senate staffer, hey, look, you really are sharp. You know this stuff. You ought to come and work for us someday.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there was a time that I worked at an OBGYN clinic in Topeka, and I was an assistant to the director. And when the medical salespeople came in, they had just like a Porsche out there. I'm being sarcastic, but everything was just high class, and just it was something that you're going, that is very overcharged for the meds that they were bringing in. And that was before they had like generic. And this was a while ago. And so now it's like, I don't know how well they're doing, because the insurance companies have to pay for the generic before they go into the ones that haven't been developed.
Well, the money is obviously the problem. It's why we're getting nothing done for the people. It's because of the money.
Right. And I think I would like to hear that discussion more than whether we're going to have Hillary or Bernie's plan, because what the plan we're going to get is what the industry is going to give us, because we've moved to the point where, let's say, let's take Medicare. We'll go back to Medicare for All. Right now, the annual budget for Medicare is $600 billion. About two-thirds of that's totally paid by the beneficiary, either through your taxes or through your premiums, copays. You know, they take $104 out of your Social Security check for your Part B for the doctors, okay? Well, we should be getting that same service for about $300 billion. In other words, we're paying about double under Medicare. And so this is the issue we have to look at. And also, when you talk about the ACA or the Medicare for All, you're only talking about delivery of medical care. You're talking about fixing sick people. You're not talking about a health system where we look at why do we have cancer? Mm-hmm. What can we do? If you don't have access to health care, you're one of those poor people, you're going to get sicker.
Well, that's one of the things that I'd like to emphasize, just on just even us being an Every Woman show. And when you think about the typical, and I'll say woman, but the feminine side of all of us, let me say, that part that cares, you know, the real caring part. There are some, you know, there is a move to focus on wellness, mm-hmm. you know, and well-being. Not like come here after you get sick, because put it psychologically in your head, you're going to get sick.
Right.
But just focusing on the overall, what keeps you well, you know what I mean?
Yes.
The
I know what
the
you
feminine
mean.
Side of life, uh-huh. that seems to be intangible, but it is those things that keep us well. And so, and even from having discussions like this, just as we've talked about with some of the pledge drives, and we've discussed, like, you can be so angry with some of the things that are going on, and how do you creatively use that anger, you know, where I don't go burn down a house or something. I mean, you know, like, okay, oh, I can go join KKFI and talk about the things. I mean, okay, I'm letting you in my head a little bit, but I can join in, you know, a group of women and talk about issues that matter, and then, and give voice to people to call in and say, okay, what is it? Okay, I've got all these new shows that are going on, and some of them are biased to who they want you to vote for, but bring a guest on. Help me figure out what is what. What's Bernie saying? What is Hillary really saying? Is there really a difference? And help me and inform me of my vote, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say that, too, especially right now when you do have a presidential race going on. It is so just inadequate how the quote-unquote news is covering these topics. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear just talking points and rhetoric and largely fear-mongering. And I know that a lot of you listening today are getting frustrated that we don't give proper respect to issues in this country anymore. And we do on KKFI. We really want you to hear what the substance of the debate is, not that
the sound bites. The
15-second sound bites.
Yeah, the what was it? Rock and rollers and holy rollers. You don't care that she said that. We do not care that she said that. It's not remotely important to how this country should be run. So, I mean, this is why you should be supporting KKFI. This is what we need. We need to have these in-depth discussions. We need to get past the just weird entertainment-driven coverage of our national politics, because it's not what we want. We don't want that here.
And that's why You should call 888-931-0901, 888-931-0901. Right now, call us with your pledge to say KKFI is important, KKFI makes a difference in our lives.
This type of public discourse is dying in America right now. And it's getting more and more challenging to get substantive issues, and especially to get substantive issues where you can engage with us as well.
I think we need support. We need honesty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't need propaganda. And I don't care if we're talking Bernie or Hillary. Mm-hmm. They feel, or they believe, they have to provide a fair amount of propaganda. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. How do we finance health care? Well, one of the things that was supposed to happen under the Affordable Care Act is a device manufacturer's tax. You know, those pacemakers, the hips, everything that they're putting in your body, those are paid for by Medicare or the ACA. Well, that's really expensive stuff. But this industry is very profitable. So what they did under the ACA said, okay, fine, we're going to tax medical devices 2.5%. You're going to pay 2.5%, which I can tell you the medical care device manufacturers don't feel a bit. That happened for 2 years. This last session of Congress, that tax was suspended because the medical device manufacturers are so powerful. And what I'm saying is they run the healthcare system, okay? Whatever passes Congress has to go through the healthcare industries. Who were the two senators who led the fight to repeal that tax? Elizabeth Warren and Al Franken. Now that may shock you.
That shocks me.
Yeah. I tell you why. They did. Massachusetts, Minnesota, the two leading states with these manufacturers. Medtronics are in Minnesota.
Oh my God.
General Electric. Now, we love Elizabeth, a lot of us.
I like Al Franken.
But, you know, they looked at this and said, look, our state is not going to put us back in the Senate because these people have the power to defeat us. So we lost that 2.5%. Now, that was supposed to go to help fund the Affordable Care Act. That's gone. It won't come back.
So, okay. Elizabeth Warren helped wreck some of the funding for the Affordable Care Act.
Yes, absolutely.
And I would be willing to bet that most of you progressives listening out there right now had no idea that she had betrayed this.
See, our system is
thing
so screwed up. I saw a quote about, you know, the people that have can neither have democracy. I wish I could remember who said it. But when you've got all these wealthy people at the top and everybody poor at the bottom, you can't have a democracy. It's no longer a democracy. We don't have a democracy anymore.
See, that's the thing. We can talk about health care, but the bigger issue is, like I say, the gorilla in the room here. It's like the defense industry. We were warned by Eisenhower. Well, a very prominent physician named Arnold Relman came up with the medical industrial complex back in 1980, and the same thing is happening. You're right. This is not a democracy when the corporate world merges with the legislative world. That's pretty much what's happened in healthcare. Let's get honest. That's what the AC was about. The insurance industry came to the table. The pharmaceutical companies came to the table. All of those industries had to be guaranteed, like in pharmaceuticals, they were guaranteed an extra $80 billion over 10 years. That's what they had to be paid. Now, they're already, due to our lax trust enforcement, our patent laws, plus if you look at Medicare, the law in Medicare, in 2003, you cannot negotiate drug prices, so we pay whatever the pharmaceutical companies want. Not to belabor the point, but what we really have is a medical industrial complex running our health care.
Right.
It's that simple.
Well, and it does actually make their margins better if we stay sick.
Right.
That's what my concern is. It's like you're not really for some of let me not say all, but for some of the companies, you're investing in me being sick,
right?
Not me being well. And so that's where I have the frustration and where this conversation is helpful. And for people who want to come call in and join the conversation, you can call us at 816-931-5534 and just ask your questions. And maybe even if you have a question on what is really the difference between Bernie and Hillary and you're struggling with how you should go. But I just think the bigger thing to be talked about is this: are we investing in being well? And that is where, you know, where compassion comes into play, where things like forgiveness and where you understand, like, you know what I'm doing to you affects me. It doesn't just, it's not like I can cheat you and think that I can, in the long run, be okay at your expense. And so I don't know, sometimes it's just a bit frustrating with the amount of noise that and the loud voice of fear that we have allowed individually and collectively as well just govern the way we make decisions.
That was well put. I liked the way you said that. We're investing in you being sick because we're not going to make it. I talked to a cardiologist at Cleveland Clinic who's very famous, and he treats heart disease with diet, and he's very good. He does very good with it. I said, well, why aren't more doctors doing this? He said, because you don't get reimbursed for that. Exactly what she's saying. You know, you get reimbursed for putting a pacemaker in somebody or a stent.
And we actually have a caller on the line. Caller, could you tell us your first name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, Sylvia. I live over in Kansas.
Thanks for calling, Sylvia. Go on ahead with your comment.
Okay. One of my comments is I use natural healing. So right up front, I'm going to tell you that I don't use the treatment industrial complex, which they will lose their license if they say they can cure you. Now, if you look back 50 years, this whole insurance thing really is when somebody goes in, they've seen ER and all these propaganda shows on TV that make them think that this complex is working very hard like an investigator to cure them. However, if you're a doctor and you say you can cure someone, you lose your license because they sell treatments. Now, if we look at the general public, if they were aware that optional idea the doctor has, let's try this medicine first, was not going to have a shot at curing them, do you think they would pay their bill? No. But if you have insurance, you're automatically guaranteeing the doctor payment. And so for me, the insurance industry basically is a scam just to make sure the insurance company is going to get paid, or the doctor or the system is going to get paid. So for me, I don't want insurance. I don't use doctors. If I am seriously ill and I have to go, let's say, to the emergency room or something like that, or I have to have a bone set, yes, I'm going to go to a doctor. But most of the time, most of the illnesses I have, I can cure with herbs.
Let me ask you a question. I don't want to interrupt you, but let me ask you.
That's all I have to say.
Well, I have a question back to you. Do you understand that the Affordable Care Act has a mandate that says you have to buy the insurance? And are you willing to buy the insurance, or are you just not going to obey the law?
Well, if it's a small percentage of what I earn, then and the company pays half of it or matches it, then I feel like that would be more equitable.
Well,
as far as the Medicare thing, I would go along with that because as a citizen, I realize most people are not educated on what they're getting from the medical industry, and it's going to take some time for them to learn what is going on.
I would
just go ahead and be part of that.
You would ignore the law and pay the... now it's going to be 2.5% of
I would not ignore the law. I would pay my fair share. Whatever everybody else is doing, I would willingly go along with that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I agree with this.
In the Bernie Sanders idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bernie's idea would not include a mandate because everybody would automatically be covered. But the mandate says you will buy insurance on the exchanges, whichever exchange you're, unless you're eligible for Medicaid, you would buy this insurance. If you don't, this year it's going to be 2.5% of your annual income, or about, I think it's $965 or something. That's a pretty good hit.
Do you mean there's a minimum dollar amount? It's not just the 2.5%?
That's right. What he's talking about is with the Affordable Care Act, there is a mandate that if you don't buy the insurance, they will take it out of your income tax return.
That's right.
It's
okay, so that percentage, is he saying that it's automatically $900?
Well, this year...
Or less,
no,
or what?
No, Sylvia, I think that's a maximum, is the $965. So.
Okay, now in my case, I don't make enough money to even in the last couple of income taxes because I am getting Social Security. I don't make enough to even be charged a penalty.
Are you eligible for Medicare?
Yes, and I have taken the C, which is for emergency care.
Oh, you are on Medicare C, which is Advantage Plan. You have an Advantage Plan?
No, I have no plan. I'm not in. I have the retired program where you can have A, B, or C. C is merely emergency care. B, you have to pay $104 a month. I don't have the $104 a month. I just have the minimum.
Okay. So you do have insurance coverage then? Okay.
Well, it's C.
Yeah.
I don't pay money in.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not C in your industrial complex insurance. Blue Cross Blue Shield plan. No, it's the typical Social Security.
Thank you,
option.
Sylvia, for your call.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring out a bunch of people in this country don't go to doctors. And so I think the bigger issue is why don't we make the medical association required to cure rather than treat?
Okay.
That would be great.
That's my issue. All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. I will tell you, if you haven't figured it out by now, insurance is a very complex issue. Very complex.
Right, and I think that's part of the problem with the Affordable Care Act is people are put out there and are expected to negotiate their for their best options. And I can't do that. And I have a PhD, and I know all about insurance. So, it's really crazy.
But speaking about, like, you know, what you invest in, bless you, Amy just sneezed in the studio.
Sorry.
No. But I'll say, you know, this may be a little controversial, but this is where I've read it. It's a scripture where Jesus says, people were not made for the law. The law was made for the people. And I feel like that's a part of the issue that we're having a bit here, where we are calling something that seems a bit unjust a law, and making it seem as though we were made for it instead of it being made to serve us.
Well, you know, it's kind of like our form of government. It was a break from what went before, which came out of the Enlightenment, which said that every human being is created equal, mm-hmm. which is kind of what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. The idea of government is we all agree that this is a government, but it's for us.
Right.
Plato said, no, you're for the government.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're not Platonists. Our Constitution isn't built that way, and that comports with what Jesus said.
Yeah.
But we're moving very quickly to where we're all commodities.
Yeah.
That we're here. What can they get from us?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right. I think that's a really excellent point.
And Sharon, I want to make sure for people who've been following our Money Matters Minute, too, as we're talking about what you invest in. And for this week, we'll go on into the investment for part three, which is asset allocation. And Asset allocation simply means that you decide how you will invest your savings among the stocks, bonds, and cash. For example, if you're going to invest $100 and you have decided that you want to have 15% in cash, 25% in bonds, and 60% in stocks, you would put $15 in cash, $25 in bonds, and $60 in stocks. Each time you invest, you would split up your money in the same way. Which is interesting that we're just kind of talking about how we use our money in healthcare.
And that's called dollar cost averaging, too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
When you make a payment, an equal payment monthly, and divide it out in the same way, it's dollar cost averaging.
And for more information on that, you can go to wiserwomen.org. And part four will be continued next week on our Investment 101.
Well, and I think that one of the most important investments we need to talk about is truth in media and the fact that you're getting that here. I'm still reeling that Al Franken and Elizabeth Warren came to the side of major medical device manufacturers.
Yeah, and they did. And let's...
But you don't hear that. You don't hear that on CNN. You don't hear that on Fox News. I mean, which is funny because you'd think Fox News would just love to nail them for something.
Of course, I doubt if you're listening to Fox News, Amy.
I hope not.
But let me say this. I want to make it clear that Elizabeth Warren and Al Franken are the best we have.
They are good
the
people.
The best we have in the Senate, and it's just that one thing.
But it's the system. It's the way it's rigged. It's not rigged for the people. It's rigged for the corporations.
Well, and then Al Franken probably has a big investment into the process and medical kind of billing and companies and everything
the
like that.
The investment would be in his getting reelected and the fact that they're in his state. That's the biggest manufacturer in his state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And he can't go against that, those loss of jobs.
Well, especially with the Mayo Clinic.
But we still should know about this.
Amy Klobuchar, who is also from Minnesota, also wants to repeal it. I mean, it's not just Al Franken and Elizabeth Warren. It's a large segment of the Democratic Party. Let's get that clear. And number two, let's take General Electric or Johnson & Johnson. They're big, big companies, and they make a lot of money in healthcare. Liz Fowler, who was Obama's lead person on the Affordable Care Act, after that got passed, where'd she go? Johnson & Johnson. She works for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
revolving
we see
door. Yeah. Yeah.
What we need you to do right now, though, is call 888-931-0901. It's very important that we keep this media source that is not influenced by big business.
That's right.
By government spending. We are completely independent of all of the interests that have completely robbed you of your media elsewhere. And the only way that we can stay on the air and broadcasting is if you pick up the phone and dial 888-931-0901 and make a pledge. You can make a small pledge or you can make a bigger pledge and get one of our wonderful thank you gifts. Our $90 levels, we have a t-shirt. $150, you can be a guest DJ, which is a lot of fun. We do have fun on KKFI too. And for $75, you can get a special collaboration CD, which is local artists doing special work just for KKFI. It's a very nice CD. I recommend the CD quite a bit.
Every investment and donation today is like you can waive the cost off on your taxes. At least that was what I was familiar with when I was paying big taxes and owning a restaurant and things. So.
Yeah, it's tax deductible if you itemize. This is a charitable contribution, tax deductible. You can call in and make recurring payments on your credit card. There are a multitude of ways. Just call 888-931-0901 and ask Terry how you can make a contribution to KKFI.
And we need to send this message to the larger media conglomerates that people want actual substance. They want to be able to hear the truth of what's happening, even if it hurts a little bit. Mm-hmm. Even if it just hurts to hear that Elizabeth Warren was terrible. I'm still hurting from that, but I'm glad I learned it.
Well, she's 99.9% wonderful. But I do want to say how much I appreciate this program because I'm on it quite a bit, because it gives me a chance to talk to some people about things in more depth.
Yeah.
And number two, I want to recommend a book before I get off of here today. It's a book called Bitter Pill by Stephen Brill. It's the most readable book, interesting book, about what happened in the whole process of the Affordable Care Act. How the industries played into it, how politics played into it. And after you read this book, and I'll leave you probably wondering what I mean by this, instead of calling it Obamacare, it should be called Obacus Care, because it was really Senator Baucus in the Senate Finance Committee that said, this is what we're going to do. And they gave it to President Obama, said, if you want it, this is where you're going to get. That's why the single payers didn't come to the table. It was the insurance companies. It was the pharmaceutical companies that were there in the White House, in Congress, deciding how we were going to get health care. And we got that.
Well, and I just wanted to say, this is your last opportunity today to call 888-931-0901 and pledge your support for community media, which means not corporate media, not government media, but media that is for you and you alone.
For the people and by the people.
888-931-0901.
Though they will have another opportunity during the upcoming shows. This is their last opportunity during Every Woman to call in.
Well, we like it when they call during Every Woman. Although we would be happy if you called for Urban Connections with Donna Wolf, since she just walked in the room and gave me a look.
Yeah. Next week, our guest is going to be Janet Moss Brown, who will bring two other women with her, and it will be a panel on what white women might be able to do to help heal race relations. It should be an active, lively show, and we look forward to seeing you then. And there's still time to call 888-931-0901.